الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أفيقوا أيها المسلمون، إنها الدعوة. اعلم أيها الأخ وأيتها الأخت أن الإنسان يقيم بعلمه وعبادته ودعوته. إنه الحب، حب الله سبحانه وتعالى أولا، وحب نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ثانيا، وحب العباد ثالثا، ثم حب دعوة العباد إلى محبوبنا الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا الحب كما ذكرنا قلنا أنه هم القيام بالمسؤولية، وهي مسؤولية تبليغ هذه الرسالة كما أمرنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما قال في حجة الوداع: ألا فليبلغ الحاضر أو الشاهد الغائب، كلنا مسؤولون. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the second meeting under the title Wake Up Brothers and Sisters. It is da'wah, it is the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about da'wah, we're talking about da'wah, and this is the second lecture. We're talking about something that we need to all do, which is wake up and start the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know that the person is valued, or the person is judged according to his knowledge and according to his worship. Based on that knowledge, then according to the da'wah, based on the knowledge that he has, which he practiced also. It is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, then the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam second, then the love of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala third, then the love to love all human being to the one that we love, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said before, this love is a bothering concern. It's a worry. Every Muslim is worried because he wants to make sure that he has fulfilled the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted us here on this earth, to serve him and to call people to serve him subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can someone claim that he or she loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he doesn't know the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can one claim that he loves Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he does not learn the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can we claim that we love people when we don't care for inviting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rather, we leave them cuss and curse and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek knowledge so you would understand how much shortcome you have, and at the same time seek knowledge so you would know who is he, the one that you love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. We need to know who is he, Allah. It's not just a claim love that I love him. You love him for what? Why do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did he do to you? What can he do to you? What is there about him that you need to love? What kind of favors he did to you? What kind of things that he saved you from? What can he do to you if you don't? What he will do to you if you invite to him? If you don't invite to him? We need to know who is he. So before we can claim that we love him, we need to know him. This is major and basic at the same time. It's basic thing to know about the person that you love, and it is major to really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, everything you're basing on something you don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Allah despises every knowledgeable person in this dunya while he is ignorant about the hereafter. You know everything about this dunya, whatever major you have, you're excelling in it. You know the fine details about it. You keep up with it. You learn every aspect of it, the improvement of it, the future of it, the history of it, everything you learn about it, you know about it, yet when it comes to the hereafter, you don't know the very least. You don't know the basic things that you need to know. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those kind of people are hated and despised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have set an example yesterday about calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam, where he was approaching death simply by knowing two signs of death, gray hair and weak body. Gray hair and weak body, it's a sign that you're getting close. His main worry is who is going to take after him to continue the message that he was calling for, Tawheed. So he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give him just a son, but a righteous son. He did not rely on that dua or on that closeness, being a prophet and being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not rely on the dua by itself, rather he accompanied with action. A man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Prophet of Allah, I need to join you in Jannah. Make dua for me. He said, help me by making too much prayers. Don't just rely on my dua. You gotta work. We don't just make tawakkul, we need to act also. So Zakariya alayhi salam made the dua and he was doing night prayer. That is when the angels came and gave him the glad tidings of Yahya alayhi salam. A second example we'll talk today, Luqman alayhi salam. Luqman, there's a special chapter in the Quran for Luqman. And Luqman alayhi salam was advising his son. He had special time that he spends with his son to teach him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيْ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Look at the beginning that he started with. Luqman spoke to his son while he was giving him an advice, O son, do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No partners, no son, no wife, no mother, no brother, no wife, no ancestors, no grand, nothing. Do not associate partners with Allah. First thing he told his son, a young man, it's not someone who's too old, where you could probably, you say, you don't want to talk about Tawheed, why don't you talk to him about the Jannah, tell him about the rewards he gets in Jannah and all that. No, start with the biggest and the most important part and the essence of everything, Tawheed. If you base everything on Tawheed, you will be successful. With the minimum, it will be accepted. With too much work without Tawheed, all rejected. So Tawheed. Why? Inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. He said, because shirk is a great injustice against you, because you're disobeying Allah, and against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you're attributing something to Allah completely false, based on no knowledge whatsoever. Just complete conjecture. No, nothing firm. You have not seen, as the pagans used to say, that the angels were females. Simple answer by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashahidu khalqahum? Were you there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it to come up with this conclusion? Did you see them? Satuktabu shahadatuhum wa yus'alun. This false testimony definitely is going to be recorded and they're going to be questioned about it. This is a warning. This is a great warning. This is false testimony. This is a lie that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. They will be questioned about it the day of judgment. And when you don't have an answer, then you know what comes up. Hellfire is waiting. So Luqman alayhi salam was advising his son. So he has a worry, da'wah to Allah, and he wants to establish someone who can inherit that da'wah. See, we worry about children so we can make them inherit our wealth. But people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want to inherit their children knowledge of teaching how to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they want them to inherit. The responsibility of fulfilling the answer the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَاذَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ? What were you doing in this dunya? A question that I will be asked, you will be asked. What were you doing? They teach them that. They have an answer. This is like when you have the three questions in the grave. Who's your Lord? Simple and quick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's your prophet? Simple and quick, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did you know all of this? Very simple. I read the Quran. Very smooth, very straightforward. You're so confident. You say it with delight. You say it with surety. You're not worried about it because you practiced it. You lived it. You called for it. So how can you worry about that? So they have that worry, and they teach them that worry, and then they will have a lot of things to expect. Look what he said. He established Tawheed initially. Then he wants to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making his son aware of the supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know that there are surveillance cameras or guards or something in a place, and you are in that place, you are careful all the time of what to say and what to do and not to steal and not to touch, because something is going to show you. So he wants his son to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. So he said, Ya Bunay, look at the way he talks. My son, very simple. This is like Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ya Abati, oh my father. He's talking to a disbeliever. He's talking to someone who worships stones. Rather, he makes idols for people to worship. And he's addressing him, my father. And he tells him, you have knowledge, and I have knowledge. And here is my knowledge. It's benefiting you better than your knowledge. Oh my father, why do you do worship things that doesn't benefit you? It doesn't harm you. Oh my father, I love you. I worry for you. Oh my father, I'm afraid that Allah will punish you. Oh my father, don't follow the shaitan, because the shaitan is the enemy of Allah. Oh my father, until he told him, his father told him, get out of my face before I kill you. What kind of death? Stoned to death. The worst kind of death. And he said, Salaamu Alaikum, Father. I will continue to make dua for you. Even though you did what you did, you rejected me, you threatened me, but I love you. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him that you cannot make dua for a disbeliever. Here the same way, Luqman to his son, oh my son, إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. The smallest thing that you could think of, let it be hidden anywhere in heavens or earth, let it be inside a rock, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth the day of judgment and account you for it. He's talking to whom? A young boy. Not an adult, a young boy. Then he said, oh my son, establish prayer. Most important. Enjoin good and forbid evil. This is what we're here for. Da'wah. Take care of yourself first. Then call, people, wasbir ala ma asabak, and be tough and be strong, because you're going to be harmed. People are going to ridicule you. People may even kill you or try to kill you. You're not better than the prophets. Many of them died. Many of them got close to death. Many of them has been harmed. So you're not any better. Anytime you come up with something that is different than the habits and the customs of the people, you will be fought, regardless of how true it is. And that is what Waraka ibn Nawfal told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I wish that I will be a young man when your people expel you outside Mecca. He said, my people are going to expel me? And he said, oh, don't you know, every prophet, they do the same, his people do the same thing to him. Was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam expelled or not? He was. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a hadith that Waraka is, he saw him in Jannah. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was from the few who followed the right Christianity. And that is the meaning of the ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا والصابئين والنصارى من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلا خوف لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. When you talk about people of the book and the believers, those who do righteous, they go to Jannah. We're talking about those who have fulfilled the correct Christianity at the time of Isa alayhi salam. Even though they're still called the people of the book, and the book that they have is altered and changed and it's not the right one, even though still called the people of the book before and now, they're still Nasara. They're still, we eat from their food. We eat the dhabiha and we eat from their food because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it halal. We marry from them because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that halal, even though they're not following the book that actually was revealed on Isa and Musa alayhim salam. But they are following that. So when it comes to that, had they have the book, the real one, it's still abrogated by the Quran. No longer accepted, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the final message, this is the final religion, anyone who seeks anything besides that will not be accepted. But there is nothing there for any Christian person or Jewish person who accepts Islam to come and say, I missed a lot of the good things that Judaism teach or Christianity teach. It's here, we got it. Whatever you have good there, we have it in here, and we have more of it. So the best thing that I can think of is you are upgrading yourself to the best. You're not going down, you're not going backward, you're not missing anything, you're not getting anything evil or missing anything good. Rather, nothing evil and everything good you had, you have it here, and you have plus on top of that. So nothing to worry about for anyone to accept. So enjoin good and forbid evil and be patient, because people are going to reject you. This is something given. So you are going to be a da'iyah. We're talking about da'wah. We're giving you the information about da'wah. One thing that you need to fulfill, number one, is what? Seek knowledge. Once you seek knowledge, now act upon that knowledge. Once you act upon that knowledge, call people to that knowledge. Once you do that, expect some pain. So might as well stop from now if you are a chicken. If you think you can handle a couple of words, camel jockey or whatever you can get from those, or go back home foreigner or whatever it is, if you cannot take that, then you're not the right person for it. You don't fit. You need to smile for it. You need to smile for it, just like the prophets did, and just like everyone who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because ignorance cannot be faced with ignorance. It has to be faced with patience and forbearance. Second example, Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam. He was accused, false accused. In what? In his pure honor, which is the hardest thing on a man or a woman. To the point that if someone accuses you with your honor, without four witnesses, he or she will be lashed 80 times, close to committing fornication. Just for saying a word about someone, if you accuse someone with adultery or anything, and you don't provide four people to testify that he or she did that, then you were to be lashed. Yusuf alayhi salam was accused with his pure honor. With whom? With the wife of his master. What's the big deal? The big deal is any problem that takes place against someone who did you a favor, it's major. It's like you have a friend, you trusted so much in everything in your life, and all of a sudden he betrayed you. It's like you have someone, you raising him, taking care of him like your own son, and he robs you. That kills. Here is a man purchased as a slave, Yusuf alayhi salam. Who purchased him? Al-Aziz, his master. He took him, he raised him, he entrusted his wife with him to take care of him and everything, so he will take him as a son. He put him in a castle, he served him with everything, took care of him from A to Z. All of a sudden, Yusuf alayhi salam is going to hear that someone is telling his master that he slept with his wife. It's death to Yusuf alayhi salam. He cannot even think about the situation. Because just like I said, his master, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ الْإِحْسَانِ. Someone does something good to you, this is what you do to him. He didn't do it naturally, but his master doesn't know that. And who's going to claim that? His wife. Even women who were not there, congregated, and formed a plot against Yusuf alayhi salam to support the wife of Al-Aziz. Subhanallah. This is something that it makes your hair gray. At the same time, he was put in jail. After all the whole chaos, and he was proven innocent by the testimony of the wife and the testimony of women and everyone, he was still thrown in jail. Look at the test, look at the trials. But the point that I'm getting at, with all this hardship, did he forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Did he say, oh, I'm going through everything horrible, I'm being lied about, I have been accused, my innocence was established, I'm still thrown in jail, what kind of life is this? He didn't say that. He was in jail with a couple of men. Those two men saw Islam formed, and it was exhibited by Yusuf alayhi salam. They lived with him for a while in jail. You know, some people say 7 years he was jailed. It's not a day or two. So they saw Islam in that person. They saw the honesty, they saw the love, they saw the humbleness, they saw him, whatever he was doing, praying. And they saw a real good man. As soon as they had a dream, they went to him. I had a dream. Could you interpret that, man? We see that you are a good man. How do they know that? They saw the knowledge that he has exhibited in real life. He practiced it. Now, it's very simple for him to say, oh, get away from me. I had my own problems. I'm thrown in jail. You know what happened to me? This is exactly what happened, and I was proven innocent, and I was still unjustly thrown in here, and I don't feel like talking. Man, it's an opportunity. He said, wow, what a golden opportunity for me to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone who doesn't know him. They're coming to me. They're asking me. It's not me I have to convince them. They already trusted me. And that's what we are trying to establish here, brothers and sisters. When you make da'wah, you want to establish trust with people. You want to establish trust where people can take from you. Which means you have to prove yourself that you are worth learning from. They have to see what you're teaching looks on you. They have to see your sincerity about what you're teaching. They have to see your dedication. They have to see that you really care. Otherwise, they're not going to sit and listen to you. Or even if they listen to you, they say, look, look what he's saying and look what he's doing. So Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, they came to him. Now the ball in his court. He can do anything he wants. He can tell them, I'll talk to you tomorrow. They will be there tomorrow. They want him. They need him. They are in need, not him. So he took it from the bottom. Like Luqman alayhi salam. From the core. He said, first thing, إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون. My friends, I have ran away from my tribe because they don't believe in Allah and they don't believe in the Day of Judgment. My friends, I have lived and followed the religion of my forefathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub. It's not fitting for us to worship someone different than Allah. This is a blessing for me and my forefathers, but many people don't know. Look, he was talking about himself now. Who am I first? This is like Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. When he called his people, they said, oh man, your prayer teaches you that we should leave and abandon the people that we worship. You are a wise man. Or we cannot do with our wealth the way we want to do it. You're a wise man. Look what he said. He said, oh my people, do you see if I have a solid proof that I am a messenger? And besides, I'm not calling you to anything that I'm doing the opposite. That's a big point. Yusuf alayhi salam establishing his servitude to Allah. And he's happy with it. It's not like Paul. When he was calling, he said something like, da'wah to Allah is all misery. Da'wah to Allah is all misery. Why should I be miserable? If you feel da'wah to Allah is misery, I don't know what kind of faith you have. Tayyib. After he said that, he said, now he's attacking them with logic. Ya sahibi as-sijn. أَأَرْبَابُ الْمُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. Let's use our logic. You have four gods or three gods or 10 gods. Are they better and easier to worship or just one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set another example of the Quran. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا رَجُلًا فِيهِ شُرَكَاءُ مُتَشَاكِسُونَ وَرَجُلًا سَلَمًا لِرَجُلٍ. هَلْ يَسْتَوْيَانِ مَثَلًا. A servant who's serving more than one person. And another servant who's serving one person. Who is living happily? The one who serves one. Get me water? Here is the water. The other one, get me water. No, don't get him water. Who should I answer now? But I said, get me water. One person tells you to do something and the other will tell you to do something else. How can you live with that? Don't you feel that, or you hear that sometimes from children? When the mother says something and the father says something different, the child is telling them, I'm confused. Mom, you told me that, and my dad is saying the other way.
It's hard. So he's coming to them with logic. أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ
Different gods worshiping like the way you do it. Or just worship one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he added with the other one.
مَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ
You only worship things that you did your own self and you give it the name. You worship something that you created, that thing's supposed to worship you, not you worshiping it. You come and make a statue, then you want to worship that? The statue's supposed to worship you if you want to follow the logic.
And then he attacked him with the third one. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ
This is not revealed to you from Allah. This is your own imagination, your own invention.
So Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was in jail, was unjustly put in jail. He was attacked in everything, and yet he did not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He continued to call for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the following. Alif lam mim. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrijan nasa minadh dhulumati ilan nur biidni rabbihim ila siratil azizil hamid. Kitab anzalnahu ilayk, a book that we have revealed to you. What's the purpose of that book? لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ So you can deliver people from the darkness to the light. The darkness of what? Whims, desires, disobedience, doubts, to the light of obedience, of certainty, of yaqeen, of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This book takes you from this to this. Just like that? No. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ With the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Give a reminder. Reminder benefits believers, which means it doesn't benefit disbelievers.
فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرٌ سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى
Person who fears will take reminder. Person who doesn't will not.
مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ
بِمُسَيْطِر You cannot control people and tell them you gotta believe in Allah. Can't do that. Doesn't work. That's the meaning of no compulsion in Islam. Because faith is where? In the heart.
So I can come and force you to Islam and you say, okay, I'm a Muslim and deep inside you don't believe in the first thing. Are you a Muslim? No, you're not. You're even worse than a disbeliever. Now you're a hypocrite.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is the book revealed for that. This book is revealed on us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I want you to deliver people from the darkness to the light. So the question is, are we ready for doing that? We're here learning how to make da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what you are supposed to do. Save ourselves. Deliver ourselves from darkness to light, and at the same time, we want to deliver the rest of the world. Great responsibility. It's not fitting for us to sit and put one leg over the other. We have to have worry. Remember what I said? الحب هم الدعوة لله هم Calling to Allah is a worry. It's a concern. It's a major concern. It's a bothering concern. If you are truly, this is a condition, if you truly a believer, then this is a great concern for you. طيب, da'wah needs real men. Let's have some of the qualities of the men that we need from us, and then We conclude. We need some people who are patient in seeking knowledge. قال بعض السلف من لم يصبر على ذل التعليم بقي عمره في عماية الجهل ومن صبر عليه آل أمره إلى عز الدنيا والآخرة. Anyone who is not patient to the humility of seeking knowledge, he will stay the rest of his life in the darkness of ignorance. And anyone who is patient on seeking knowledge, he will be honored in this dunya and in the hereafter. We need men who see seconds in seeking knowledge a treasure. We need men who see that sitting in circles like this is the essence of their happiness. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا مررتم في رياض الجنة فارتعوا قيل وما رياض الجنة يا رسول الله قال حلق الذكر." He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "If you pass by the gardens of heaven, then drop your stuff and sit, enjoy it." They said, "O Prophet of Allah, what are the gardens of the Jannah?" He said, "Circles of knowledge." Look, he compared it to gardens of heaven. We need people who are not limiting themselves to just obligations. We need people, or da'wah needs people who are willing to give more, pray the sunnah, make extra fasting, make extra charity, enjoin good, forbid evil, have good manners, have good relationship with people, have good relationship with their family, good relationship with others. We need people like that who are not just doing the minimum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is there who has better speech than a person who is calling to Allah? Is this a question by Allah? No. It's a question that is saturated with challenge. يعني سؤال في نوع من التحدي. سؤال مشروب بالتحدي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging someone to come up with someone who has better speech than a person who's making da'wah. Go ahead, bring me one who has better speech than calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the answer, not. Shawkani rahimahullah said, no one better than him, and no one has a better way than him, and no one has more rewards than him. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine just before I came, and here just makes me remember that the saying of Shawkani, nothing more clearer than the da'wah to Allah. And that's exactly what I was telling him. I told him, yani subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people of hellfire that punishment will not be lightened. لا يخفف عنهم. Then in another ayah, he was talking to me about trials. He's sick, and he said, sometimes I see people complaining, so I try to make my sickness bigger than them so I can make them feel better. And it works. I said, yes, in this dunya it works. When you see someone sick like you, it makes you feel better. But not in hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَيَّنْفَعُكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. It's not going to benefit you today that you are all in the hellfire. Meaning, you're not going to look at one another and say, oh, well, he's in hellfire too. So it makes you feel a little bit better. Why? Because the promise is, لَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمْ. The punishment will not be lightened. So this one is cancelled too. Even though it is a feeling from the inside. And I said, subhanallah, if they would feel a little bit better because some other people were with them, like them, sharing the same punishment, you know what that means? That means there's contradiction in the Quran. Allah said, it will not be lightened, and here it is lightened. And I told him, subhanallah, there's nothing clearer than Islam. I said, when a person talks about Islam, I can swear, I can challenge, I can do anything with so much certainty, without any hesitation whatsoever, that I'm not going to lose.
I can swear day and night that this Quran, no contradictions in it. And I can go to sleep without even thinking about anyone in the whole world is coming to come with a contradiction in the Quran. So completely relaxing. It is so clear. It is so challenging. It is so true that you just feel good. I mean, you know how sometimes when you argue with someone and you know for sure you're winning? It's exactly it. No one doesn't submit to this Quran, but mainly out of arrogance. They know it, but they refused. The Jewish lady who poisoned Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when she gave him the shoulder of the sheep. You know what she told him? Why did you do that? He said. She said, well, if you were a liar, we get rid of you. And if you are a truthful person, it will not harm you. Good analogy, right? Good. Sounds good so far. Well, it didn't harm him. Did she accept Islam? No. I don't get it. Fir'aun. The same way. His people said, لَعَلَّنَا نَتَّبِعُ السَّحَرَ إِن كَانُوا هُمُ الْغَالِبِينَ. Let's witness the challenge between Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the magicians. So we will, or we may follow the magicians if they win. And if they don't, you're going to follow Musa alayhi salam? No. It's not logical. It amazes me sometimes when you see the way arrogance is. The person who is a believer, who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no speech better than his speech. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من دل على خير فله مثل أجر فاعله. Any person who teaches something good to another person, he gets the same reward like the other person. So if you make da'wah to Allah, imagine how many people, regardless how few they are, they're going to take some of what you say and act upon it, and you're getting the same hasanat as if you are doing that. And we said before, if you show someone to his house, you get rewards. Imagine you showing someone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much rewards are there. Finally, brothers and sisters, we need to be with the righteous people that their hearts is reformed with the love of Allah subhanahu, with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their tongues reformed with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their limbs are reformed with the service and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that seeking knowledge is essential for da'wah, and it is light. It will enlighten your heart. And calling to Allah is opportunities, so take advantage of the opportunities. Calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a bothering concern, but it tastes sweeter than honey. Yes, I'm bothered, but boy, do I feel good when I call to Allah. Yes, I do. And I will not sacrifice, give it up for anything, sacrifice calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything else, because it is sweet, because you're always with Allah, talking about Allah, calling to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with you. And if Allah with you, who do you need? The possible asked a question to the impossible. Possible asked a question to the impossible. Where do you live? He said, in the imaginations of the incapable person. Imagination of the incapable person. This is what mustahil, the impossible, lives there. So you need to act upon the advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Ista'in billahi wa la ta'jaz." لأنه المستحيل اللي بيعيش في أحلام العاجز. استعن بالله. Seek help from Allah
And don't be like the incapable person, because impossible dwells in the mind of that person. So, seek help and work and act upon that, and make sure that if you have some gray hairs, life is getting closer to end. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, when he was running after a scholar, the scholar is on a horse or a donkey, and he's running after him, holding his clothes and holding his pen and asking question. One of his friends said, "Oh, Imam Ahmad, how long you going to continue or running like this? Yani shame on you," he means. "You're too old. Stop doing this." He said, "With the pen to the grave." Yani, I'm going to continue to do that until I have the last breath. This is how you should be, and we should be when it comes to seeking knowledge. No end to it. What ends it is death. And when you seek knowledge, you always qualify to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be the best caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, we conclude the topic. Wake up, my dear brothers and sisters, for the da'wah, or the second part of that. And inshallah, next time we'll have something good for you. We'll leave some time, 10 minutes, for questions and answers, if there are any.